All right, guys, welcome to the studio. Today we have Robert Lee from University FM and Professors FM. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me here.
Of course. Robert, tell us a little bit about University FM.
Yeah, University FM is a podcast agency specifically for higher ed. So we work a lot with colleges and universities, helping them make their own podcast shows and promote them, get out to the world. Professors FM is related, so also higher ed space. It's a podcast network of professor-hosted shows where really the main purpose is to grab insights from research and be able to share them in more accessible ways with the broader public. So working, you know, on the University FM side and the production and marketing and kind of piecing that together into the podcast network distribution piece of Professors FM.
That's beautiful. That's quite an undertaking. How many staff do you have on board?
Right now, we have about 20 people on our team. Some just all around in the U.S. and then some others in the Philippines.
Wow, so international.
International, yeah.
That's beautiful.
And like, fun fact, I've met all the folks in the Philippines, but I've met nobody in person in the U.S.
Interesting. So, that is an interesting fun fact.
Yeah. Yeah, I only... One person's been with us really more than 3 years. I have not seen her face in real life.
So how did you connect with your team in building your team? I believe you're coming up on 1 year, correct?
Well, so 1 year doing this full time.
Okay.
The business itself has existed for about 5 years now.
Beautiful.
So like the beginning 4 years, it was like a side job. Very first hire was, you know, somebody in the Philippines, like a project manager type of person. And that was through like a more of a general, like Philippines online hiring website.
Okay.
And I think we just got lucky with our, you know, who applied in our interview process that we got her. She's been the first employee, has been with us for an entire 5 years.
Wow. That's a diamond in the rough.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy when you think about it. She's given birth twice, you know, while since working at the company.
Well, it's a good thing it's a remote position.
Yeah, it's a good thing it's a remote position. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting also, like, seeing how the company has developed over time to be able to support her better. Because, like, the first time she had, she was taking care of her baby, we didn't have any sort of benefits package for maternity leave. And, like, the second time around, like, we do. So it's pretty awesome to see just how the company has grown to be able to support more people in
That's
more
beautiful.
Ways. On the U.S. side, you know, it was also online, but more of a typical job forum, website for producers. And that's how we met these people. Like nobody in person. Like all the interviews were remote. Although over time, a few people were from referrals, but mostly just really trusting the process.
Wow, that's great. Do you find communication's been smooth through the remote process, or are there challenges that you face running a team remotely?
Challenging.
Yes.
Personally, I'm the type of guy who likes to see people in person.
Yeah.
Because I really take a lot from, like, you know, body messaging and just how, you know, facial expressions, right, the tonation of it all, and just feels like more of a human connection to have somebody right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, with the remote environments, you have to be much more intentional with how you connect with people, because it's so easy, I think, in a remote environment to just schedule meetings to only talk about work. Whereas if you're like in person, I mean, you're going to chit-chat for a little bit before you get to the business, right? So it's intentionally like building like team building exercises remote, right? And maybe being more intentional about, hey, not starting every call, just going straight to the business, but ask about their personal lives a little bit more.
I really like that. What's can you share a team building exercise that you do with your remote team?
Last year for Halloween, that was the first time we did like a Halloween party, which I've never done remotely before, but everybody, so basically it was a, you know, 1 day event, and like we had everybody, you know, dress up in their costume wherever they were. So some people were dressed up at like 8 a.m. in the morning in the U.S. and other people were dressed up at like 8 p.m. at night.
Oh, that's
in the Philippines.
Funny. Yeah.
What was cool about it was that everybody actually dressed up and actually went all out for it. So it was amazing. And then for the rest of it, we played some like online games, you know, it's like Among Us and another game that was like more of a scavenger hunt type of thing. Some prize thing, like host our own like who has the best costume awards, you know?
What was the, who won the best costume? What was the costume?
Oh, so one of our folks dressed up as Spider-Man and he positioned the camera upside down. So, and then he had this rope that he was holding on, like he was like lifting up. So, you know, in the camera, it's like he's upside down as Spider-Man hanging
That's
on
amazing.
His like his web, I guess, you know?
I love it.
So super amazing. Creative. That was fun. Some folks, you know, you have your Harry Potters, you have your witches, you have Prince, somebody out in the Philippines dressed up as Britney Spears.
Hilarious.
In her her outfit from like Toxic, you know.
So yeah, like, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Workplace appropriate for sure.
Exactly. I think that's great that everybody participated because that's a tough one to get people to get into costume and partake.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't do it. That's good.
I was really surprised, honestly. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Because especially once remote, personally I have like lower expectations just because, yeah. Okay, whatever, you know, your house, sure, yeah. Just come in pajamas.
Did you get anybody with the special effects and the AI being that it's remote and you can do that stuff now?
Yeah, so, you know, in podcasts, you have on social media, these things called audiograms. So it's basically you have a fixed image and then you have the waveform and you have your audio clip playing and the waveform, you know, goes along with it.
Yeah. Right?
So like one person just, she's our social media person. So she just made like the frame of audiogram for, you know, for a video.
Right.
And then the waveform just moving around. So she was an audiogram for Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome. So, hey, it still counts.
It still counts.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So yeah, that was creative. So
yeah,
I was the lamest costume. I was just a cowboy.
Well, there you go. It's very low maintenance.
Yeah, it's very low maintenance. I just put on my cowboy hat.
Yes.
And I found a random handkerchief somewhere.
I love it.
I mean, I was actually a bandit. Now I think about it. Now cowboy.
Hilarious. So. I have the biohacking conference coming up in Dallas, Texas, and they do a big meet and greet event, like a big party event themed. And it's this year, it's Space Cowboy.
Yeah.
And I have to travel. So a lot of people really get into it and they bring things or have things, costumes sent out. This is my third year going. And I found just a t-shirt that says Hooten leads to hollering.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just going to go with that black t-shirt.
Do you have a good yeehaw?
I do not.
I thought you were going to do it.
Right now. It's like a big, like I was geared up for that. Yeah. Yeah, no, I do not have a good yeehaw. Okay. It would depend. It would depend on the circumstances. Set the scene.
Yeah,
right?
Set the scene. You have to be in a saloon somewhere.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, Robert, talk a little bit about Professors FM.
Yeah, okay. So, Professors FM started now like 2 months ago. This is a very new thing. Again, it's a podcast network. So what that means for people who don't know is it's just a collection of shows, all focused around some sort of theme. The theme here being that all the hosts are scholars and that all the podcast episodes, all the content is based in research. So it's a very important thing for us and like a differentiator. Because like one realization is that in today's world, there's just so much content out there.
Yeah.
And there's so many, you know, self-proclaimed like influencer type of people, right? You have your in my mind, what's on my feed, right? It's like your finance bros and your hustler types.
Yes.
And then some really good dancers, right? And then you got people who are like talking and giving out like health advice. But sometimes these people like aren't really that well qualified to give out health advice or financial advice, right?
Yes.
Or what have you. So the idea, one aspect here is why not have, you know, professors take that role of influencer so we can have more credible influencers in this world and share information also in interesting ways, right? They're still entertaining. So that's why we started the podcast network. So one, to help more scholars engage with podcasting.
Yeah.
And if you're like new to public speaking, help introduce them to it. Give them some training and then, you know, help them guest on more shows like other podcasts. And at some point, if they're really into it, help them create their own podcast show. Again, all for this bigger like public good, public scholarship, like let's inspire more thoughtful discussion by having information share with us through these professors who really know their stuff.
Absolutely. I love that. And it's a great sense of community also. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
in two ways, I think. Like one, in Billings Network, want to create a community of like peer scholars so they can, you know, they can all share with each other, like what are the best ways to share information.
Yeah.
And then another community aspect with the listener or audience side. It's really, again, propping up just or building a space for people to have more thoughtful discussions a little more deeply. In a space where you can definitely have like different opinions, like that's totally welcome. Highly
safe,
encourage it.
Exactly.
And at the same time, be able to feel like you can challenge, right? Challenge different opinions. But again, focused and based on research that is coming from some place of fact, I suppose.
Knowledge based.
Knowledge, yeah.
And I like the platform. It gives a great platform to people seeking out mentorship. And you guys are kind of a guide and offer direction in anybody that's looking to explore something new and get out of their comfort zone. I think that's amazing.
That's the big vision. Yeah. That's what we're building towards.
I can see the vision just talking to you.
Yeah.
I like what you're putting together. It's, you know,
it'd be really impactful. Yeah. It'd be really cool, right? If somebody was just listening, like for instance, one of our shows is called Breaking Schemas. It's hosted by these two marketing professors over at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. And the whole podcast is about disruptors. How did disruptors get to where they are? And then kind of sharing that story, showing people and inspiring people that they can do it too, right? They can disrupt their own field or whatever they have going on in their life.
Yeah.
And so that'd be really cool, just to inspire some action.
Yeah.
But also our hope is in how we put together this network, people can listen to this podcast and also find just you know, the exact same level of interest maybe in the podcast about philosophy.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a pretty good mix of what you've got going on there. What are some of the universities that you've got on board with University FM?
University FM, so we're working with about like 20 different clients right now.
Yeah.
So when we first started out, it was UC Berkeley. That's where my co-founder and my brother, Sean, went to school. And then from there went to like University of Utah, Colorado. And then like East Coast, we have like Oberlin College and like Millbury College. Michigan, even though I'm from here, we didn't get them until last year. So they're a little later. But
wow, kind congratulations.
Thank you. But kind of all around, you know, the nation.
Very well-rounded.
Yeah.
Group of folks.
And I think, you know, when we're first starting out, it's a lot of bigger, big-name institutions.
Yeah.
But also think about, okay, how can we engage the smaller names or like even like the community colleges?
Yeah.
Because like we find that there's excellent scholars, you know, at all places.
Yeah. What is your dream school to have on board that you don't right now? Michigan was a big one for you, right? That was important.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be great to have something from Harvard.
Yeah.
It'd be really fantastic. The reason why we don't have them yet is because Harvard is so good that they have their own podcast,
their own network,
and
yeah.
their own team, and
of course.
They're doing, you know, fantastic.
Well, maybe there's a future collaboration in that for you.
Yeah, so that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, I like what you're bringing together. It's definitely an impactful sense of community and a great platform for mentorship. I love that.
Thank you.
What are some of the challenges that you faced in launching this network? Because it's quite an undertaking.
Oh, yeah. When I so we started thinking and planning for this network like last summer, right, last year. And at the time, I was so naive because I was like, oh, this should just be so easy. You know, you just get some shows together and you just put some branding on them. That's like, you know, all the network branding. That's all you got to do. But there's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
To have an effective network. Because technically that is a podcast network. But I think to do it really, really well, you start thinking about, oh, like what are our editorial guidelines or like criteria for accepting shows on the network or like for pursuing different shows on network. Looking at our collection of shows, like how do we go about making sure we have a good variety, right? Not just in topic, but like in opinions, right? In backgrounds, right? Within this collection of shows, how can we support them with learning resources? Resources that are helpful for everybody, or how can we inspire conversation just within our like host community? And then you think about the audience size, like, oh, okay, like who is the target audience we're going for? You know, because it probably would be appealing to a very large group of people, mm-hmm. but that doesn't help with like providing strategic direction.
Right.
Like who's our target primary audience? How do we communicate the messaging for it? Like how do we connect all the different show branding under one roof?
Yeah.
Right. Like that's pretty complex.
It's a lot of work.
Lots of work. Yeah. There's the whole aspect around the monetization piece. How do you make sure that this podcast network can be self-sustaining? And that gives, you know, lends itself into a conversation about sponsorships, and like that's a whole different world. Like how do you do the reach outs for the sponsors? How do you construct your deals, right? And you got to talk about revenue sharing. Okay, so that's a piece. Another piece then is, you know, behind the scenes. So how do you set up a team to do all of this?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going through right now.
Yeah, it's a lot. I can appreciate everything that you're putting together. What kind of coaching do you offer when someone onboards with University FM or Professors FM?
Yeah. So sometimes, professors have a ton of media experience. Fantastic. All right. They know what to do. Other times, more often, I find that professors or scholars are like really great at the teaching, really great at like the research, not so great at the communicating just because they weren't really taught, you know, to communicate or to be a communicator for the general public. Sometimes scholars, professors come to us and they're just so used to like lecturing, right? And that's a very different communication style.
Yes.
Than like podcast conversations. So part of it is, you know, breaking down like where they're coming from, their previous experience. And then also getting some insight from them about areas that they think they need to improve on. And then over time, like as they do more and more interviews, like our producers, our team will just be taking notes so that we can, you know, gradually with each interview provide some very actionable tips. Probably another aspect of the coaching is being very clear about setting like boundaries for what people feel comfortable talking about and do not feel comfortable talking about.
Oh, that's great right there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the academic world, like, you know, some professors, they're experts in what they study.
Yeah.
But if you get like a little bit outside of that area, it gets very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I mean, but you need to be clear on how far you would want to go, right? So if you're talking about, I don't know, make sure marketing tactics, like, do you feel comfortable talking about like fandom? You know, do you feel comfortable talking about like influencers versus like big corporate brands, right? When it gets into like maybe a little bit more like political topics, like marketing has more oriented around like social justice.
Yeah.
You're comfortable talking about that. And it's okay if you're not, but it's good to be clear on where your boundaries are so that when you are recording the podcast, you're not caught off guard by it.
Now, have you run into heated situations that has prompted you to implement these boundaries? Or is this just something that, you know, really going into it that needs to be in place?
A little bit more proactive, yeah. Right now. So far, so good. This table's wood. So, you know, so far, yeah. Like we haven't been sued or anything like that.
Beautiful.
Like no really angry comments, angry mob coming at us.
Yeah.
But I can see it happening. You know, there's a possibility for it. You know, the most controversial thing we probably talked about so far is on one of the podcasts, they were discussing the purpose of higher education, right? And kind of thinking about, yeah, how involved should institutions be in like taking a stand for certain social issues versus like...
How far to go with
yeah,
that.
How yeah. far to go with that because you have so many stakeholders within university. And then this, not other side, but like this other perspective of, oh, university should just be focused on pursuing truth, right? And just be really focused on the scholarship or research piece, right?
Yeah.
That's been the most controversial so far.
No heated debates that have gotten out of hand or?
Not yet. We haven't.
Everything can be.
We haven't gotten into the politics shows yet.
Yeah.
But we will.
Right.
Right. So yeah. We're prepared
politics
for that.
Politics are always hot and heated.
Yeah.
As politics. Long as, I mean, they can go in the right direction just as long as you have some well-focused people debating those topics.
Yeah. You know, for us, and this goes back to like the editorial guidelines of the network, which is actually something that we're still like working and refining right now.
Yeah.
But like one thing that is important to me is that, hey, people are free to state their opinion, definitely. And we're just trying to ground it by having it be supported by some research.
Right.
Right. And because we are so...
some dignity and respect.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Respect, definitely, in how you conduct a discourse. But like a lot of, you know, my personal opinion, like so much learning just comes from when you're talking to somebody you don't agree with.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And you're able to disagree, right, in a civil way.
And learn.
And just learn, yeah. Right? Not to say that anybody's trying to change, you know, the other person's opinion or anything, but you're just having a discussion to really broaden and understand, you know, truly try to understand how somebody else is thinking about
something. Which right there is higher ed.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I like that. What are some of the other challenges that you've faced as far as bringing this collaborative group of universities together?
Well, you know, if you never worked in higher ed before, it's just, it's super, lots of bureaucracy, right? Things move really slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go through a lot of approvals and such. I guess I'm
familiar with that network because I work in the mental health system. So
yeah.
Yes. Everything's hurry up and wait.
Yeah, hurry up and wait.
Yes.
It's frustrating. Yeah. But I think over time, you know, you adjust to it, the ebb and flow of it.
Of course, there's ebb and flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets better.
So that's probably a challenging thing, just specific to the industry, yeah. I suppose. And otherwise, again, like right now, the thing I'm thinking most about is how to define like the range of our target audience. Because early on, I said one big goal of this network is to make research accessible. But there is this question about like how accessible should it be? Because on one end, you have like people who would just go deep in the research and like how the research was conducted, for which for most people wouldn't really be interesting or really important.
Right.
On the other end, you might just have people just stating their personal opinions without like any research, right, being mentioned. And then like in the middle, it's like, okay, like, maybe it's not the right words, but it's like, how far, you know, how much should we dumb it down? You know, like what's the expectation level that we have for who's listening, right? Are these guys all PhD students, master's students,
right.
Bachelor's, like high school degree?
You want to make sure that there's comprehension on the other end.
Yeah. There's comprehension.
End, of course. Right?
And I know for sure, like, yeah, we don't want it to be just for the PhD students.
Right.
Like, that's
well,
not the
this
purpose.
Leads me to my next question is University FM just limited to university? Or if someone's seeking out a podcast platform, are you accessible to the general public?
Mm.
Or is it exclusive to professors and universities?
Yeah, University FM is just serving higher ed or like education-related organizations, you know, people. But like we have a sister company, I'd say, which is called Ventures FM, which is for all the podcast shows that are not related to like a higher education. So, you know, we have a few shows, like that's not what we've been focused on.
Right. Is that so far? Are you the founder of Ventures also?
Yes.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yes. So that's the trifecta for you.
Trifecta.
That's three, yes.
So like, Ventures FM, you know, does approaches podcasting in a similar way. It's just a different type of clientele.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Like some shows, like one show was about managing happiness. One show was about like more entrepreneurship focus. Like how do we solve this? How do we solve this problem? Right.
Okay. Problem solving.
Yeah. But that's a smaller piece right now. But hey, it's there because every so often we do have people come through and ask if we're open to working on shows not related to higher education. It's like, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Right. Granted that there's some good deep purpose behind that show. What I mean by that is like, you know, we're not really interested in working with shows or people who are just trying to sell their own product or services.
Sure.
Or like interviewing people in order to talk about their own products or services more.
Right. More purposeful.
Yeah. It's, we're
still tying into the educational piece of it because you want
to
educate
your audience.
There's
always education piece to it.
Yeah.
Because like for podcasts, when you think about, you know, if you are a person who listens to podcasts, you listen for advertisements, you listen to like get, you know, to learn something or to gain some like experience or like some story to share later on. Right. So it's always about how do you provide value to people with a podcast. If there is a selling component, that's always like secondary.
Right. I like having takeaways after I've invested my time into listening to a podcast or watching a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I like the educational piece, a takeaway that I can also share, not only implement in my own life, but share with others that might find that practice useful.
Yeah.
I know with my own podcast, I like to just speak from experience and what works for me and the practices that serve me best. Not everybody falls in alignment with the same practices. So just sharing and then giving everything a try, you know, it's a good starting point for people, I think, you know.
Yeah.
So any podcast out there that delivers a message like that, I'm on board with. So I like that you have that, you know, that same practice.
Absolutely. I mean, there's also very like, there's a very practical reason to do it this way too. Like, it's like one we touched on, which is if it's just a sell, nobody's gonna listen to this show.
Yeah.
But another,
then it's just an infomercial.
That's just infomercial.
Right.
But another aspect of it is like to work on a show like that is so boring. And like, nobody on my team would want to work on that show.
Sure.
Like I think from like a team morale perspective, it would just bring people down.
Yeah.
So it's like,
then it's just a job. It's not a passion.
Then it's just a job.
Yeah.
And like, there's no deeper purpose to like latch on to.
And you guys are unified in that you're collaborating creatively together.
Yeah.
For the same greater purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think like from my perspective as a business owner, it's like, yeah, I want to make sure that we give people work that is fun, or if not fun, then like at least like interesting.
Right, and you're providing value, right? Yeah. Enrichment.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, no one wants to these days just go earn a paycheck. You know, you want to be doing what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah.
And following your path.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, sometimes you just need a paycheck, right?
It does, of course. I mean, but that's never going to go away. But
I think we've gotten to the point now, or maybe even from like day one, and like how we approach building the business, we always want to make sure that as much as possible, we could provide an environment where people feel excited to come to work, or if not excited, then at least like a little bit more than neutral.
Enthusiastic, right?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, enthusiastic.
Yes,
just not like we don't want any like sunny, scary type of thing.
Sure, yeah. I like that. What are some of the wellness practices that, as an entrepreneur and a business owner, you find helpful?
Generally speaking, something I find really helpful. It's not even like a productivity hack. It's just like doing things that are not work.
Yes. It's hard to, as a business owner and an entrepreneur, disconnect because you're always working.
And I'm not saying I'm not working. Like, I work, okay? I work. It's just that...
it's a 24-hour, seven-day
It's always
week.
On your mind.
Yeah.
You have to be very intentional to, like, try to, like, shut it off, right? Do something else. So, like, last year... so I mentioned, right, this is, like, 1 year and almost a half now doing this full-time. So, like, last year... I would say, yeah, I was just like a workaholic for sure, which also I never really view as a bad thing. But now that I'm taking breaks, like, oh, yeah, it's better to not be a workaholic.
hard work pays off.
Hard work pays off.
Yes.
But I would be used to working, like 60 plus hour weeks. I'd be used to, you know, just taking some time on the weekends to do some work, not just Sundays, but also like Saturdays.
Yeah. Right? I like your work ethic. That's a good sign of a leader, of a good leader.
To an extent,
yeah.
Right? To an extent.
Sure.
Because, and I was doing that for a while. It never really bothered me. I didn't really see it as like a big problem or anything.
Yeah.
But then my brother, Sean, so Sean just, you know, he was going to this wedding. He was going to officiate a wedding in Bali, in Indonesia, one of his favorite places. He was like, hey, Robert, you should just like come to Bali. I was like, okay, sure. I'll come to Bali.
Sounds like a great plan.
Sounds like a great plan. But I wasn't even like super excited. I was just like, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, right.
Let's just go Bali.
Because you were stuck in work mode.
Yeah, it's stuck in work mode.
Yes.
And I was actually out there for 1 month. So it was a very long time. I mean, I maybe for like two, maybe like 3 years before that, didn't really take a vacation.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. I mean, my brother actually had to like, in some ways, convince me to take the vacation.
Sure.
I was like, okay, fine, I'll go.
Did you jump in knowing you were going to stay for a month, or did it evolve into that once you got there?
I knew it was going to be a month.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, so I was there first week. I was still working a little bit. Second week, I was like fully off. And now I'm just like sitting on the beach, drinking, you know, margarita.
Yeah.
And just staring at water. And I'm just so bored. Like, what do I do? You know?
Yeah.
You know, some people watching all that. And then the third week, you know, fourth week, over time, some sort of like reset happened, right? Where it's like, okay, cool. Let's go party. Let's go have no plans today and just figure out what happens.
Relax. Yeah.
Yeah. Relax. You know, be bored sometimes, just like be present. And that's the biggest thing. It's like in reflection, like coming back from that trip, I was glad to like get back to work, but coming back from that trip, it was just, you know, recognizing or like rediscovering that, hey, like you should definitely take breaks, and like, hey, like doing nothing is really good for you.
Some personal independence. Yeah.
And it all like those moments help you be more present and just more aware of what's happening, you know, take things in.
Yeah.
Which I think like definitely helps your, how you feel personally and your mental well-being, your physical well-being, from like a work policy side. So it is interesting. So like before that trip, I would always be like kind of anxious if I knew people weren't like actually working on my team, like on something.
Right.
Right. Like, oh my God, they have downtime. Like, how do I fill that downtime?
Yeah.
Right. Cause I'm also probably like in the back of my mind thinking about like budget or something. Right. Cause I'm still paying them.
Right. Of course.
Even if there's nothing, you know, they're not actually doing anything. But after that trip, I was like, okay. Like nowadays I'm not anxious about that at all. Because like people need time to not do anything.
Absolutely.
And especially like in the creative business, like you need time to just be.
Yeah.
Just be, to just absorb. And that, because that's where the ideas come in.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't tell you how much I relate to everything you're saying right now, because I was stuck in that hamster wheel whereby even if I got invited, I've never been invited to Bali, but I'll be going soon now after that good sell. But I would tie work into everything, everywhere I went. It was got to have a laptop, got to be ready on the phone, got to have the meeting. And that's just, it's too much. It's too much overkill. And you just don't get a chance to relax, reset, reframe, regroup. Yeah. And so you're not seeing, I don't think, for me, from my perspective, I wasn't seeing things clearly or the bigger picture or how to create a better outcome, because I was never, I never dialed out enough, you know what I mean, to observe, because I was always in the matrix, so to speak.
Yeah.
I reference that all the time with another cohort of mine, you know, in the matrix, can't get out. And
that's a great movie.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Yes. And, you know, I struggled with that, with just trying to be present and just relax. That was a tough go for me, because as you're coming in on, it'll be 5 years, 6 years now for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you know, I mean, I still look at, I'm going on year 9, 10, and I still feel like in that infancy stage sometimes, mm-hmm. because you're watching a baby grow when you give birth to a business. And it's, if I don't have children, I have a godson. I know we've spoke off camera, you don't have children yourself.
No.
And so it's unique when you give birth to a business. I attribute it to much like giving birth to a baby.
Well, what do you imagine?
I imagine, yes. From my perspective, you know, watching my godson grow and friends of mine's raising their kids, you know, you're very protective of it. It's, you have to nurture, you know, that business. And so it's hard to...
Okay, let me draw a parallel here, right?
Yeah.
Because like, I say I was very, very protective of it for the first few years. Like this year, my mentality's kind of just shifted. Protective, I'm connecting to this idea of just, I am like, knew everything that was going on at all times.
Yeah.
And just kind of like overseeing things, right? But now, like, I've let go of responsibilities to other people.
Yeah.
And not to say that before I didn't delegate or anything, because we have our, you know, manager level folks, right?
Right.
And like they're doing just fine, you know, keeping track of their own space, right? But I would just be aware of everything. Nowadays, like, no, I'm not aware of everything.
You don't
anymore.
Need to know all the details.
And I don't need to know all the details.
You don't.
In some ways, I mean, early on, it was like, I mean, that probably induced a little bit of anxiousness, anxiety.
Sure.
Just because, oh man, I don't know.
Right.
But now it's like, I don't have to know. And it's actually now freeing to absolutely not. And hey, this feeds into this trust aspect.
There it is.
Right with the team. And it's like, yeah, I fully trust, you know, the team to do what they need to do. And I'll focus on like my core responsibilities, and it's just healthy for everybody.
It's interesting making that shift. I'm so grateful for my team and anybody that provides value to the greater good of the mission.
Yeah.
But it was hard when you formulate everything because you're all the roles when you first start out.
Yeah.
And so it was never, I couldn't wait to delegate and hand off certain things because it piles up. And then, you know, you're cognizant of that. I was very present in understanding, like, okay, things are getting a little overwhelming. I need to bring in this person for this reason. And then, you know, you offboard, pass the torch, so to speak. And then you get a little less stressed. That was sometimes challenging when you don't bring the right person in at that time. You know, you go through those hurdles too. I don't know if you've faced that.
Definitely.
That was something that I struggled with. You want to find the right person to put in the right role, and there's a trust that has to come in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you make that hire.
Yeah. No, I've made some bad decisions.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll continue making bad decisions.
Sure.
For who I allow in the team.
Everything is a learning experience, and each person, it sounds so cliche, but it is a lesson, and they teach you something in that.
Yeah.
Or something.
Someone once told me, right, it's partly having the right people on the bus, and also then having the right people in the right seats on the bus.
Yes.
Right. So there is something about, yeah, picking the right people, but also just depending on, like, timing and like circumstance, like what's needed.
Right.
Be able to have them in a role where, like, you're setting them up for success, while it's also like a huge benefit, right, for the company as a whole.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a very hard skill to teach. I think you just gotta learn it. It's
like, well, experience is the best teacher. The only way that you'll ever know,
you know,
is through actually going through the process.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, nowadays, but I think it's always been this case. Like, the most energy draining part of my work is like figuring out how to better support my team.
Yeah.
And like when something wrong happens, like being very conscious about how do I react to that. I've gone through many iterations of this. Like, if something wrong happens, I think early on I would have just like told the team, oh my God, this is wrong. And like, maybe I would have just done it myself.
Right.
You know? Because under this, like, this notion that, oh, maybe if I just show them how to do it, great, they'll pick up on it. But like that attitude of approaching it is like, that was totally wrong.
Well, because, like, no one's going to do it like you would do
it.
No one's
going to do it like
the way that they would do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But also, like, I think it takes away agency from the person, because it's like, oh, well, yeah, I did this wrong, and now I guess I'll just let the boss do it.
Right.
You know, or someone else do it.
I mean, you have to have accountability.
You have to have accountability.
Right.
But it's just like small ways of how you present the message for when something wrong happens. How do you not just navigate yourself, but how do you navigate with the people, right? So that by at the end of it, everyone feels like, okay, we are in this together,
right?
And that, yeah, we're on the same page. We're going to, you know, do better next time.
Absolutely. Right? Everything is fixable. You know, that was something one of my mentors said to me when I first started out. I faced a lot of adversity. We spoke about, you said you hadn't had any lawsuits yet or gone through any of those trials. Mm-hmm. And year one, you know, year two, it was like my curveballs were coming sooner rather than later. And I just didn't foresee that. That was not on my radar. I knew that those challenges would come. I just didn't think those would be my challenges first off. So, you know, it used to worry me, you know, to the next level. And I would meet with my mentor, and he was so seasoned and so experienced, and had already walked in my shoes and did exactly what I was setting out to do. And he shared with me just that everything is fixable. And that just, I don't know, sometimes you hear something, it just stays with you and it clicks. And that's what I share with my team when we have a fumble or a folly. Mm. It's not the end of the world. I've mostly been there, done that, seen it, been through it seven times. It is all fixable, you know. It is fixable with the right mindset and the right team. And that comes back to that balance of wellness practice. For me, it's having a clear mind, like taking that pause and, you know, just being present and enjoying the downtime and learning to let go and pass off, delegate responsibilities to people that are willing to be held accountable, and just know that if they didn't execute, you know, accordingly, just as though you would, we can fix that. It's correctable, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Related, you know, I had this revelation like maybe 2 months ago. Because something wrong happened, right? It was like, it was actually kind of like a repeat issue.
Yeah.
And you know, then you got to talk to the team about it, and it's like, okay, it's a repeat issue. I mean, my initial like emotional response, like, oh my God, this freaking sucks. Like, this exact same problem. Like, how was it not fixed?
Right? Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you got to pull back those thoughts because like that's not helpful at all. You know? And then I was talking to the team, and what I realized was everybody knows like what good is, like they, and people definitely, like all the people on my team, like they want to do a good job. It's not there's no like lack of wanting to do a good job, right? And it's just like so it never helps, I guess, to I guess like redefine what's good versus what's bad. It's just, you know, everybody knows it. Everybody understands what we're trying to do, and let's just focus on next steps to get there. So it's kind of like, instead of just like repeating and like focusing on what the problem is and just like pushing that point down people's throats, it's like, no, let's move past it. We know what happened.
Exactly.
Let's go.
And yeah, that's not the last time you'll visit that problem.
That's not the last time.
It's a learning tool. And then what I found too is that as your business evolves and you grow, you've been very lucky in having that core team that stayed with you for some time, I think. That's very hard to build these days because people are all much, you know, very much all over the place.
Yeah.
Longevity isn't something that I'm seeing these days in the workforce, and you have to learn to pivot with your team, and you're rebuilding the same team over and over again. So, you know, at times, if you're talking about your internal team, you know, your core team, when there's unintentional change within the team, someone's moved on, and you're bringing someone new into the mix, and then you're going to revisit the same problems, you know, time and time again.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just get better and better because experience is the best teacher.
Right. It doesn't like bring you down as much.
It doesn't.
Great. Let's
I actually look forward to it now. It's kind of cool because you get to wear your mentor cap, you know?
Yeah.
And so you really get to show, you become so seasoned in teaching those things, sharing, you know, in those experiences. You strike me as the type of man that would be more than willing to mentor a team member in their own endeavor, you know, if they were looking to create something like you've created, you know, called passing the torch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way we operate in helping people like skill up. So I'll say this, like I'm a pretty young guy.
Yeah.
I did not live through a generation where you would see people like working in the same company forever.
Sure.
Like none of the people I know.
You're just 27.
I'm just 27.
27 years old. Yeah. No, but I think
it's like in my context, it's like, yeah, everybody that I know, yeah, people just leave. Like they just switch after every 2 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's just normal thing to switch jobs, more and more so right nowadays.
Yeah.
And like
you're looking to create sustainability within University FM.
Looking to create sustainability. Yeah. Well, I'll say this though. It's like I think so, like Sean and I, like part of our philosophy and how we approach people growth is that we'll we'll be fully supportive of helping people achieve their own personal growth goals.
I love that.
Even if it means at some point, like if a better opportunity for them arises, like, yeah, totally go pursue that. Right. Like if someday like upskilling you leads you to leaving the company for something else that's better for you. Fantastic.
Yeah. For some like, people, your organization might be a stepping stone.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's before there would be a part of me. I was like, oh, I don't like this. Cause like, yeah, I mean,
you invest in someone.
Invest in somebody, you know, I like to just stay
very hard. Yes.
Yeah. But then it's like, you know, if it was me, I'd do the same thing. And, sure. And like, I don't want to be the person who is like intentionally holding people back.
I like that you said that. We share the same view on that. And I've always said since I started my organization, I'm grateful to have anybody that onboards in my team because that means they chose me and they believe in me and as much as I believe in them to have them on my team. Mm. So there's reciprocity there. And I'm never going to be the kind of human that stands in the way of the happiness of another human. So if it's time for someone to move on and it's for their betterment, I encourage it and, you know, wish them the best. And the door is always open. That's my mindset on that. Sounds like you share the very same outlook. I think that's a great hallmark to have.
I don't want to hold people back.
No.
There's one of my personal goals, like a lifetime goal, okay, is to help 1 million people find fulfillment.
Wow.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Right?
But, and it's just, to me, it's just because, like, when I look at the world, for me, when I look at my own life, it's like, wow, I've had so many great opportunities, and I, you know, been around so many great people. Like, anywhere I look, I can see, like, opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? Just see, oh, how things could be better and just, like, be able to get there. But I know, like, for many folks, like, that's not the case, right? Just very different circumstances growing up. And, you know, that feeds into this mentality of, oh, like, there's nothing, you know, what do I do? I have no idea. Like, there's nothing better for me. Like, this is probably the best that I'll get, right? Like this type of, like, plateauing mindset, which then lends itself to people just feeling unfulfilled. And, like, you know, some ways, like, the way I think about it is like, yeah, well, yeah, why do we keep on living, right? If we don't have some deeper purpose.
Yeah.
Right. It's just really sad.
Yeah. I think it's great that you're 27 years old and you're so purpose driven. It's so refreshing to be in your presence. And we've had an ongoing, you know, professional relationship, but getting to know you on a personal level has been such a pleasure because you inspire me and you help me to reframe my outlook on people coming into my organization because you are 27 and you have goals and dreams. And
I'm refreshing your outlook on the younger generation.
Yeah. hey, man, it's true.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's a little bleak, you know?
No, definitely.
When you take a look at things.
That's why for me, it's like, yeah, it'd be so amazing. Like just life goal, help 1 million people find fulfillment.
I like
whatever that is, you know, in that way. Like the world would just be a better place.
You have an opportunity to make a great impact with your platform. And, you know, that speaks to me. I think that that's going to speak to a lot of people. I think you're going to reach that goal. I do. I think that that's a great goal to have.
Yeah, I'm starting small.
Yeah.
So then after this, it'll be 100 million.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Hey.
One thing at a time. But that hasn't been that, you know, for that to be my personal goal, that's what informs like my perspective on how we approach people growth within a team. That's my perspective on like the output, the podcast we put out, like what impact that will have on people who are listening. Outside work, like that's the perspective I take when I do like volunteering or just like, you know, just living, right? Let's just have a conversation with people and see where they're at and see how it can help out.
Yeah. Do you have goals for family down the road as you build your business? I know for a lot of entrepreneurs starting out, you know, they have the big picture all mapped out. It's, you know, the business, the family home, and then the family dynamic all you know, in their, on their vision board, so to speak, yeah, or in their mind. Board. Yes. No, I mean, do you have a 5-year plan for yourself as far as all those types of things go? I'm asking because I know so many people do, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with not having that plan.
Yeah. No, I'm the guy who has that plan.
Perfect.
So I have my 1 year, my 5 year, my 10 year, my 15 year, right? Not after that, because you can't tell after that.
Sure.
But,
so,
but there's a plan. But, you know, the plan, I do it knowing that it's fluid.
Yeah.
Right? It's just kind of
like a dry erase board.
Yeah, dry erase board. But, you know, for me, the way I operate, like, I need to have some goals, like long-term goals in mind to know where I'm headed.
Absolutely.
In some way, right? And they could totally change,
yes,
right? Like a day, but that's totally fine. Yeah, I mean, you know, family-wise, like, for the past 5 years, I wasn't really focused anything family-wise or like, you know, dating, just intentionally just to grow the business, do like professional development.
Smart, because you have to allocate all your time to starting your business, and so you wouldn't be able to give a relationship the, you know, the attention, yeah, it needs. That's
some
smart.
People can. Yeah. It's just I know myself.
I could, like, not. I was not able to do that. And so I needed to focus completely on my business. And I think,
yeah,
you made a smart move for yourself if you're self-aware enough to know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, coming back to that, you know, doing other things that's like not work related.
Yeah. Right?
That's helped me like reframe how I view my next 5 years and such. Oh, yeah. Family. Yeah. We'll love to have family. When? Not sure. Probably my 30s, right?
Yeah.
My 30s. That sounds about right.
Smart.
But no, like, you know, outside of this podcast, I've told you, like, I started dating. Right?
Yes.
And, like, that's been a wonderful experience. Like, it's been fun, for sure. And it's just by doing other things, like sailing and, like, you know, old person hobby, bird watching.
Yeah.
And ceramics, right? Or just, like, you know, going to like, a live music thing. It all just makes, in some ways, you know, I just feel like I'm living life more.
Well, it reminds you to enjoy things.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
like that perspective on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have these plans, and I feel really good where I am right now, where it's like, yeah, I'm really enjoying life.
Yeah.
And still, like, working hard.
Sounds like you go on some really great dates, sailing and.
I'm great at dates.
Yeah.
I'm really good at, you know, first impressions.
That's
right?
Awesome.
And following impressions.
Yeah.
And like, I have so many day ideas in my mind. So yeah, let's go do it. So.
Where do you go sailing? Where do you?
There's this place that's north. It's in Dexter, Michigan.
Okay.
It's like 15 minutes away from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And yeah, there's.
I know Dexter. Yep.
I'm just telling for the people who don't know.
Okay? Yes. No.
I know you know.
No, it just dawned on me that I knew it because I was telling myself I have no idea where that's at. I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, just talk to yourself.
Okay. Yes. There's an internal podcast always going on upstairs here.
Well, it's difficult, but
yes.
That's where we go. It's like where the Michigan sailing team goes. Yeah, really nice, you know, quaint place in Dexter. Nice, like, two lakes around there.
Nice.
Really great deal. It's like $250 annually for access to the boats to the lake, you know, to, like, their classes. So, like, it's fantastic. But that's where I go sailing.
Cool. So when you do that, are you, is it guided sailing or are you on your own? You go through the classes and then you're on your own?
Go through classes, you're on your own.
Cool.
Yeah. So
that's a great wellness practice right there. I mean, I can just, you know, taking in the scenery, I mean, and enjoying the wind and operating the sails. I mean, that sounds like a great wellness practice.
You know, and like, you know, this was like 3 years ago. I would have never done this.
Yeah.
I would just be working.
Yeah.
Maybe because like part of my mind would think, oh, like I should just focus, right? But I feel like in practice, like in reality, you can only work for so many hours.
Sure.
Like for me, I just know after lunchtime, after I had lunch, I'm very, very unproductive.
Yeah.
So all my productive hours are like early morning and morning, right? After lunch, I could still work, but the same thing that would take me like 10 minutes in the morning takes me like 2 hours.
That's why a lot of entrepreneurs don't eat lunch. It's coffee. They caffeinate. And you know, so I know for me, just like you just said, if I eat lunch, I'm going to need a nap after probably.
Yeah.
You know, because I like a good healthy meal when I eat, so I don't like to mess around with just an appetizer.
Yeah. I mean that, so in reflection, it's just like you could do the sailing or whatever hobby you have,
yeah,
and still get the same amount of work done, and you would feel much better, you know, doing it that way,
yes,
than just doing work for the entire day.
Robert, you've inspired me to go sailing.
Yeah, go
sailing. I've never done it. I've never operated a sailboat before, and that just sounds like such a great idea.
It's a lot of fun. I think you would enjoy it a lot.
Yeah. I grew up on a boat, so just our family had we always had boats, and our family friends always had boats. It's sailboat was never one of the boats.
Yeah.
So that's, it just piques my interest, but I'm a big fan of the water. You know, mm-hmm, and I find it so peaceful. And I just recently moved to the water. So I have this great peninsula property. And since, I have to tell you, since I moved there, I'm sleeping so much better. Mm. I'm feeling less stress. Mm. It's so peaceful. And I think being on the water like that is a huge part of that. It's fascinating to me just how my schedule has changed, because I'm a creature of habit and a very structured schedule.
Yeah.
And so I've been sleeping until 4 a.m. That's like unheard of for me. So,
because I sleep until 4. Oh,
yes.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on here? I've been sleeping until 4 a.m. I normally get up at like 1:30, 2 a.m. and I'm off and running. Yeah. So, it's been an adjustment for me, but I attribute it to just that piece of the water. So, it's an interesting move for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this point is just so important, because when I think back, yeah, I'd just be stressed out, because I would just always be thinking about work, or not like super stressed out, just like, I don't know. When I'm stressed out, I feel it in my shoulders, like my shoulders get tight.
Yes. Okay?
And nowadays, like, they're just like super relaxed. Like,
yeah.
Not at all. But again, it's like, because I was so into hustle culture for such a long time. Even through high school, through college, no, I was always part of the entrepreneurship clubs. And like, just that the people who come to entrepreneurship clubs, like, they're just all like hustle, work hard,
right,
type of people. And just like stay up late, right? Oh, yeah, let's do all nighter, right? Like, that's like an awesome thing to do. Right.
I've never thought that, but no, I know that some mentality.
Yeah, some people are like that.
Doesn't resonate with me though.
Yeah, and again, it's just like, man, I did not need all that. Like, I could have just worked normal hours or less than normal hours and just been more fulfilled in life. Just
absolutely
doing some other things.
It's tricky figuring everything out. It's like a balancing act. It's like walking a tightrope. You just kind of figure it out as it goes. I think your body adjusts, and it definitely adapts to whatever is going on around you.
It is.
Body picks up on it. I can relate to the tight shoulders. I mean, part of one of my wellness practices is dry needling therapy. And I see a dry needling specialist, and that helps me immensely.
Yeah.
That's one of my areas right there, my shoulders, low back, legs, all of it. You know, I'm always – plus, I work out avidly, so I do different things like jiu-jitsu, tai chi, on top of just a regular workout.
Yeah.
Just because I like to channel any type of negative thoughts or stress into something positive, and it helps clear my mind, and I can think, and I can tackle like whatever issue I'm facing, like with a clear head. Yeah. And I just go, you know, right into battle with that. And walking is another one for me, tends to relax my shoulders, just walking, thinking it out. Mm-hmm. And then the answers just come to you when you're a little more relaxed.
Yeah, I also want to say, like, it's not just because like I'm a CEO now, like, oh yeah, I can just take time off and just do these things. I don't have to work, right? I'm not like Jeff Bezos, right? I'm not a multi-billionaire on my yacht.
Right.
Right. It's like I'm still like living within the means, right?
Yes,
like,
right.
And I just bring it up because I feel like even so my previous job right before this, I was doing technology consulting at Accenture. All right. Usually, like, consulting world, it's pretty normal to work like 40, 50 hours a week, right? other consulting companies even more, right? That's just like the company mentality.
Yeah.
But I feel like the same principles of like, yeah, being a CEO now and just now realizing, oh yeah, I should do things that are not work. Like the same principles can apply to if you're an employee, like I should have done this when I was working at Accenture. Like I didn't have to work the full, like after hours. Like right. If I could just get my work done, like that was the man of me. Yeah. The rest of the time is free time to do something else.
We are similar in that way, and in that with my previous employer, I often worked off the clock just to get ahead because I didn't want to be behind, and I like meticulous preparation. And
Well, I'll say this. So like again, until like last year, I always thought like man, these people could be doing more. Like they're such slackers for not like. They have so much time on their hands. Like, why aren't they like reaching out to get like more projects or something?
Right.
Right. And now I think about it, man, those guys are really smart.
They're living life. Yeah.
They're living life.
Sure.
And like, they're still progressing in their careers, but they're enjoying it more. So like,
everybody just has a different perspective. I say it all the time, different strokes for different folks. And, some people find, leisure and downtime more relaxing. I like hard work. I like an honest day's hard work, and I like, I think sometimes it's overkill, but again, when you take that leap into entrepreneurship and become a business owner, you know, it's a 365 a day gig, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and sometimes it's hard to shut it off, but that's, again, those are experiences that you have to go through to learn how to shut it off. You know, you have to do everything sometimes wrong to know how to do things right and for yourself. So just kind of watching somebody else and their practices isn't necessarily going to be the best tool for you. But if it's someone that is relatable, you know what I mean? Then it's going to be a good bird's eye view in for your future, you know?
Right. It's been a process.
Yeah. But it's very exciting and it's very enriching. I wouldn't trade it for anything. All the toughest lessons are really the best lessons. That sounds so cliche, but it really is, such a blessing and such a great experience to watch yourself navigate through muddy waters. You know, and if you're focused enough and purpose driven, you know, you will see that everything is fixable, and I think that's a great mindset to have. It's worked for me, so
yeah, everything is fixable. That's good.
Yeah,
but I think then you can decide whether or not you want to fix it.
Exactly. Leave it broken. Yeah. Move on. So yeah,
that's the next level.
Yes. So what are some other projects? Passion projects you have in the hopper?
Well, I just finished up a leadership program that I'm part of. It's called Leadership Oakland.
Okay.
So Oakland being Oakland County in Michigan, all right, not Oakland, California.
Okay.
I'm just saying, not for you.
For the audience, yeah.
But it's a year-long program. Every month we meet once, and it culminates in this like class project. So our class project this year was to help this kind of like resource center for people to get like necessities, like necessary goods, like, you know, like diapers or like, you know, some clothes, you know, your toothpaste, toothbrush, shampoo, that type of thing.
Helping families,
yeah. Right? And our project was to basically gut out the facility and like install new like shelves, bring in like all like a lot of new, you know, goods to put on those shelves for the families. And related to that, they got this old school bus, I think from like Rochester, right? But it's like, I say old, it's probably like 30 years old, really old, right? And took out all the seats in that school bus, you know, put in carpet, again, put in shelves, so that's like a mobile unit.
Wow.
Right. And
you have to show me some pictures of this. I'm fascinated.
I'll show you some pictures.
Yeah.
But that was really fun. That was really fun.
Project. If there were a family or an individual in need of that service, how would they go about seeking that out?
Oh yeah, so if you're in the area, it's like part of like e-community services.
Okay.
And you honestly just drop by. See a link in the show notes.
Yes.
I'll put a website link in there. All right.
Yes.
But it was amazing. I mean, we don't have the final numbers yet, but like last I heard, it's like at least going to help like 400 families.
That's fantastic. So, oh, here in Oakland County.
Yep.
Oakland County, Michigan. That's fantastic. I like it.
They
have social media.
Yeah.
We'll make sure to put the links at the end of the podcast for
sure. That'd be fantastic.
Resources.
That program has been really fascinating. So the whole intent of Leadership Oakland is to give people a very like broad view of all the different functions within the county. Kind of. So last time, just last week, it was a session about environment and like how do landfills work? How does our landfill system work?
Yeah.
Or like how do we keep care of our take care of our fisheries and like our Great Lakes? You know.
Very important stuff. Yeah.
Early on, there was a session about the judicial system, the legal system, and like we were in court, sitting in courts, and just watching judges give their decisions out. You know, just learning the judicial process that happens in the county. Another session on like governments, right? How that works.
Yeah, I love that.
Another session on like nonprofits, education. So at the end of the day, at the end of the program, you should be able to have enough knowledge about the county to be able to support where needed, right? Maybe like be ready to join a board of some organization.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But that's been a really rewarding experience.
Yeah.
Just learning about how our community like functions.
I loved, I took a class called Practical Law. We got that class in junior high.
Yeah.
And then I think we did that class in high school also, where you got to be a part of the judicial system by going down to the courthouse, the county courthouse, and watching jury trials and participating in different things like that. But very educational for a junior high school student or a high school student. I mean, very educational.
From the judicial system day, like sitting in court, one of the interesting things I found was the judge, because before I just think, oh yeah, the judge, it's just a very like straightforward, like logical job. You just decide on the case, right? But the particular judge that we were kind of observing, oftentimes like whoever comes in is on trial, the judge will give his decision. And sometimes we'll say, I see a great spark in you, right? And just build up just this expectation, right, that this person has a great future ahead of them.
Yeah.
Right, like after they serve, whatever their sentence is, like, and that was interesting because that shifted my perspective about what judges do or like how our legal system works. Like, like there is definitely such a deep human component to it, right? It's not... Yeah, part of it's law enforcement and
sure.
all, but the other part is, hey, like these are actual people.
They're humans.
They're humans, and like the judge in this way, like wow, he's kind of like a counselor now,
part of the gig.
Yeah, just like planting the seed of a higher expectation for people, which Absolutely. Is so meaningful.
And reform,
and reform.
I think that people can make changes, implement that, and lead a successful life. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh, that just stuck with me.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how just a sentence that someone shares, just a comment can resonate with you? It just clicks.
Yeah.
And it just stays with you. And I think
it's powerful.
Yeah, it is. I think words are powerful. And, heard from the right person at the right time can, impact and change the trajectory of someone's life, I think that's important, especially for someone that's in such an important role, like a judge,
I mean, coming back to like the goal around fulfillment,
it's
just part of it is just being able to help people see a higher version of themselves.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes you just need somebody else to help you see it.
Yes, sir. So Robert, what are three things that move the needle forward for you? What are three things that keep you driving the force of University FM, Professors FM, and Ventures?
I say one thing is I can see the great impact it can have, and I'm genuinely like excited to see how the journey plays out.
Yeah.
Like not just with me, but with the entire group involved. Related to that, I'm very excited to just see how people continue growing, myself included.
Yeah. So vision.
Yeah, vision. I think a second thing is seeing maybe how back to vision, but like how it might change, right, as it develops. I'm just really into this growth path.
Yeah. Right? Change is good. I think a lot of people are scared of change. I think that people are very fearful of change, and change is inevitable, whether it's intentional or unintentional, it's happening. And so I like to embrace change. I think that that's a great mindset to have.
And I think a third thing is like around community. In multiple ways. You know, one way is just seeing how like my own network has developed with this work. There's so many people around the country, right, who are striving for the same like social good.
Yeah. Right?
And it's very it is inspiring to see how different people play their role. And just be able to come together and collaborate, right?
And you're growing a community internationally, which is very cool. I'm excited to see how it all unfolds as well.
Yeah, and then maybe like big picture is like how the community of society as a whole.
Right? Yeah,
I wonder if we can actually be a part of shifting like what people get used to seeing on like social media and
make
stuff.
Make a greater impact. Yeah, I think that. I think it's doable. I think it's doable. Yeah.
It's fixable. It's doable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robert, where can people find you on social media?
So I'm most active on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So if you search Michigan Robert Lee, you'll find me.
And Lee is L-I.
Lee is L-I. Yes. So Michigan Robert Lee, you'll find me. That's my URL shorthand too on LinkedIn, just because there's so many other Robert Lees out
yes.
there in the
world.
But otherwise, the websites, so like University FM is just university.fm. Professors FM is just professors with a S.fm. Ventures FM with a S, ventures.fm. So the website's very easy. But that's where you can, find me, contact me. You'll find my email address on there, which is just robert@university.fm.
Beautiful. Robert, it was such a pleasure having you in the studio today. I'm looking forward to having you back.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. All right, guys. That's a wrap.